Thank you, Pastor Jessica. You guys are too sweet. Before we get into our passage for today, I know so many of you are dying to know this, but yes, my sprinklers are fixed. And so the Lord is good, prayer works, and my lawn is watered, okay? If you weren't here last weekend, then you have no idea what I'm talking about, but yes. So, hey, will you join me and stand as we read God's word together today? We are going to be in Exodus chapter 35. We're going to read together verses 20 through 24. This is what it says. Then the whole Israelite community withdrew from Moses' presence, and everyone who was willing and whose heart moved them came and brought an offering to the Lord for the work of the tent of meeting, for all its service, and for the sacred garments. All who were willing, men and women alike, came and brought gold jewelry of all kinds, brooches, earrings, rings, and ornaments. They all presented their gold as a wave offering to the Lord. Everyone who had blue, purple, or scarlet yarn, or fine linen, or goat hair, ram skins dyed red, or other durable leather brought them. Those presenting an offering of silver or bronze brought it as an offering to the Lord, and everyone who had acacia wood for any part of the work brought it. This is the word of the Lord. Okay, you can have a seat. Thank you so much. So we are on week three of a series that is now titled Next. That is what our team has decided to name this campaign. And I will just say this. In just a moment, I am going to recap briefly the last 2 weeks in case you missed either one of them. They are online, and you will need all 3 weeks to understand what is happening. We rarely have that be the case, but because this is talking about the future of Foundation Church and what we have going, go back after today, watch week one, two, and then you'll be able to put the pieces together for week three. But before I recap what we talked about, I want to talk about concrete. That's right, you heard me, concrete. Who can get excited about concrete in here? Okay, all right, I like that. Thank you, Adam, our engineer friend, my man. When it comes to building materials, concrete is essential in the foundation of a building. But have you ever wondered what is in concrete? Have you ever wondered that? What, you know, no one else is super nerdy like me? Well, here's the thing. Concrete is actually a mixture of three primary ingredients that, when combined in the proper ratio, create this strong, long-lasting material that you can really build anything on, which is why Adam's super excited about it. So concrete exists and is consisted of three primary ingredients. We have water, cement, and aggregate. Okay, water, cement, and aggregate, basically like a rock or a sand, make up the aggregate. And here's the thing, if one or two of those are missing, you do still have something, but you do not have concrete. And without concrete, you do not have a strong foundation, right? Okay, Pastor Rick, what does this have to do with anything that we are talking about today? Okay, stay with me for just a few minutes. I think you'll get the picture. Last week, I announced that Foundation Church is looking for a long-term home. Now, this is not necessarily a new endeavor for Foundation Church. We've actually been looking off and on for a facility for over 3 years, but that process did take a backseat 1 year ago as a result of our leadership adjustment. And that adjustment demanded that I turn my attention to pastoral care and leader development and to developing with the team a vision for the future of Foundation Church. And I just want to go on record and I want to say this. I am so proud of our team and I am so proud of our church. I love this church and each one of you dearly. I am so excited. So what is next for Foundation Church? That year is over, that year of prep, that year of transition, that year of kind of regathering our vision and figuring out what is next. What is next is the question. Now, if you were here last week, then you heard about our need for a long-term facility that we can call home. And really, over the past 15 months, our team has been dreaming about and praying about and designing a vision for the future impact of Foundation Church. And we are very excited about it. And that's what the previous 2 weeks before today have really been about. In one of our staff dream sessions, that's what I call them occasionally, dream sessions, my good friend Patrick Armstrong, everybody knows Patrick, he was up here on the keys, he does basically everything cool, okay? He's also married to Pastor Jessica, which is a treat. Right, Patrick? Yes. He made this analogy, and I wanted to share it with you because I feel like it's very helpful. The ministry, the collective ministry of Foundation Church is like the components of a clock. Okay, now I don't know if you've ever like dissected a clock or pulled it apart or seen the internals of a clock, but it's very complex and there's a lot going on. We have a number of powerful expressions of ministry that minister to women and to men and to our children, and some of them include, but are not limited to, that's my lawyer voice, we have our Sunday gathering right here where we gather and we sing and we fellowship and we learn from God's word and we bless God and bless each other. We have our home groups, which you're familiar with, where people are learning to practice the way of Jesus in a very deep and meaningful way. We have worship and prayer nights like the one we're hosting tonight in collaboration with Altar, which I'm very excited about. We have our Foundation Kids ministry, where we minister to ages 0 through 5th grade, and those kids are learning the foundational elements of Christianity and how to follow Jesus. Our newest addition is actually called The Crew, and that's a ministry that's developing and blooming to teach 5th through 12th graders, our youth, how to apprentice to Jesus. We have various other community groups like Ladies Meetup, Men's and Women's Retreats. Ladies, welcome back, by the way. We have partnerships with organizations like World Relief and Practicing the Way and NUMA, and new partnerships developing with places like Side by Side and Family Promise. We have our Meant for More ministry, which helps people process shame and take steps to move out of that shame and out from under the weight that shame puts on our minds, our hearts, and our souls. Now, these components all make up the clock-like operations and ministries of Foundation Church. They are intricate, they are useful, and they are beautiful. But there's a bit of a problem. There is no housing around our clockwork, right? So we have all of these things that we're doing, and we have all these intricate parts of the clockwork itself without the housing around the clock. Now imagine if every clock in your life, every watch that you owned had no housing. The amount of energy that you would spend just trying to keep those components from both being damaged by the world outside, but also from falling apart from lack of structure on the inside. The housing of a clock not only protects the clock, but it keeps the parts together and it keeps them organized. Now, this is a picture of what our team, our leadership team, and our volunteers work so hard to do every week in order to serve our church and our community. And almost every one of you, if not every one of you, are on some kind of variation of one of those things, so you get it. Now, I'm not complaining. I'm not complaining at all. I am not against doing hard things. Have you ever heard me talk about my climb on Mount Rainier? Okay, all right. The team has been teasing me about how many times I've talked about that, so. This is why it matters. Because we have, welcome Walker, good to have you at church, buddy. This matters because we have these powerful, beautiful, useful forms of ministry, but the energy that we spend every single week keeping these pieces of the Foundation Church ministry clock in place is not sustainable, it's actually not cost-effective, and it's not scalable. And I feel like we have such a wonderful thing happening here. This is not just for us. It's for us now, it's for more in the future. And we have a mission and a vision that is so important that I will do everything I can to make it sustainable, scalable, and effective. So choose whatever analogy you want, a home, a headquarters, a base of operations, housing, command post, outpost, office, whatever you want to call it, a long-term facility to house our ministries and our operations is essential in what's next for Foundation Church. Okay, so let's talk about now how that ties into the passage that we read today from Exodus. The early expression of the church building, if you will, is the tabernacle. Now, there are some definite similarities and there are some major differences between the Old Testament tabernacle and the modern day church building, and we're going to talk about both of those so that you understand. First, the similarities. It was the physical structure that the Israelites considered their house of worship, right? Same for us. It was also, according to Exodus, the place where people would go to inquire of the Lord. That's the direct language, inquire of the Lord. Exodus 33:7 says this, "Now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp." So the tent of meeting is actually the precursor to the tabernacle, and the tabernacle is actually a precursor to the temple. And for the most part, those realities, those same functions in the church building exist today. We worship together inside of a building, or maybe we're outside. And when people want to inquire of the Lord, they come to what we call the church building, right? So how about the difference? If those are the similarities, what are the differences then? Well, the primary difference between the Old Testament structures and our modern day church is an important distinction to understand. So I want to explain it clearly. The tabernacle and the temple were the place where the presence of God actually dwelt. So if you go back and you read this section in Exodus, from Exodus 25 through 40, there's a ton of explicit instructions for Moses to build it exactly how God intended it, because God's presence was actually going to rest and exist in moments of the temple. The most inner, the most central part of the temple was called the most holy place, and God's presence would actually fall on that. We see that mentioned here in Exodus 40, verse 35, or 34 through 35. It says, I would be angry too if I was hungry. So I get that, Walker. It says, then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses would not enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. So the presence of God is so holy that the people would not go into what is called the most holy place when the glory of the Lord filled it because of sin. And only the high priest, after extensive cleansing rituals, would actually risk entering it at all to offer praise and prayer and sacrifice on behalf of the people. Now, we obviously have a very different scenario than that one here today. We're at a school inside, right? This is not the most holy place in that sense. But why is that? The reason for that is because Jesus changed everything. I say that often because it's true. Jesus changed everything. When Jesus went and died on the cross and rose again and paid the penalty for our sin, he actually made it possible for us to dwell in his presence. Not only that, for his presence to dwell in us. 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 17 says this, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person, for God's temple is sacred, and you together are that temple." So, we do not need a temple to encounter the presence of God, because God's Spirit dwells in us, and we are now the temple. And that is why the church is able to meet virtually anywhere, in homes, schools, barns, parks, we've done them all, I feel like. Anywhere people can gather, the group of people come together, and that is actually the church, right? And so, we do not need a building to experience God. We do need, however, a building where people can come together for moments like this of worship. And a place to go, as it says in Ephesians 4, to equip the saints for the works of ministry. There are many functions throughout Scripture for the modern day church building, but do not be confused. We are not building the temple. Okay, so why this passage? Well, just like when the tabernacle was being built, and just like when the temple was being built, when it came time for the people of God to do what God instructed, to create the space for people to worship, the people came together and pooled their resources to make it happen. And when it comes time for us to move forward with whatever version of a facility that God provides for us, we will need also to pool together our resources to make it happen. Okay, so let's go back to our concrete analogy for a moment, okay? Now, I mentioned that there are three primary ingredients that make good concrete. And in order for the next campaign, for what's next in front of Center Church, to come together, we need to have the three components that we've talked about to make it work, to make it happen, to make it come together. So, briefly, week one, if you were here, we rolled out the first component to you, and that is prayer. The first component in the next campaign is prayer, and this is the most essential ingredient in what we're doing. That is not a joke. This is the most essential ingredient. We need our entire church to be praying. And many of you, if not all of you, are and engaging in fasting. And I am so, again, proud of our church for the way that you've responded to this call, because it is essential. And we need to be praying and asking God, God, what is next? We need direction. We need you to provide. And then in week two, last week, we rolled out our second component of the campaign, vision, right? So we have prayer, and now we have a vision for what we're trying to do. If you missed the message last week and you haven't caught it yet, it's available on podcast and on YouTube. And it's really this high level picture of what we believe our future space will be used for. Now, our vision is lofty. It is significant. But it's built upon this idea, and this is why I think it sticks. Because we want to be a church that is so integrated into our community and are so loved by the people in it and around it that if we were here today and gone tomorrow, our community would be devastated. Devastated how? Good question. They would be devastated because God is working in such a powerful way through our church and through those components that we call ministry and through the people who are the church that our community could not stand the thought of us not existing. This is the legacy that I personally want to leave before my time's done at Foundation Church. And I know all of you have a heart to see that come to life. It already is. And just to see that grow and have more and more impact on the people that you know and the people that you don't know, in ministries that are personally passionate to you, and ministries that bless entire communities, there's so much in front of us. And so today, we're going to talk briefly about the third component, and that is action. So we need prayer, we need vision, and we need to be able to take action. We start with prayer, and we dream about this God-sized vision for Foundation Church, and then we take action, and then only then do we do what is set before us. So here is what action looks like for the people of Foundation Church. First of all, for our staff, we are praying every single day, vision casting, preparing the ministries that we lead for the future facility that God is going to provide for us. Another group of people, I've asked a small group of people who are part of Foundation Church to help me carry the weight of the business activity or the legal activity and other visionary activity that might come up as we proceed forward with whatever we proceed forward with. And then for everybody, so all of us combined, for Foundation Church in general, it is the diligence of prayer and regular prayer and requesting God to be there and to provide. All of us need to begin asking God what He is calling us to do, to take action on, and to ask God about what He might call us to give as we begin to pool our resources for what is next. So in just a moment, I'm going to answer some practical questions that you likely have or will have in the coming weeks. But before we do that, I want to look back at the main passage and remind everyone what it says, specifically the first two verses that we looked at. Exodus 35, 20 through 21 says this. It'll be on your screen. And all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. And everyone who was willing and whose heart moved them came and brought an offering to the Lord for the work on the tent of meeting, for all its service, and for the sacred garments. So God gave Moses the very specific task of delivering instructions to Israel, which included the instructions on how to build the tabernacle. And once Moses faithfully delivers God's instructions, it says that God moved the people into action. It was God who stirred the hearts of the people. It was God who moved people into courageous generosity. And so I just want to say right now up here to all of you, I am extremely excited. If you haven't picked up on that, I'm trying not to be ridiculous in front of you about how excited I am about the future of Foundation Church, which includes finding a facility. And I have desperately sought God on how to do this well, and our team has sought God on how to do this well and how to deliver this information, and I've asked for God's grace and favor as I've done so. However, I cannot, and our team cannot, move your hearts into generosity. Only God can do that. Only God can do that. Only the Spirit of God, who is at work in each one of us, as we read from the 1 Corinthians 3 passage, can move our hearts to give what He calls each of us to give. And I know that whatever God determines we need to accomplish what is next, that He will be faithful to provide it. We sang a song that said that today. He will be faithful to provide whatever He calls each one of us to give. Okay, so let's get practical for just a few moments, because I want to answer some questions that you probably have, and I want to give you some things that you can be praying about as you pray over the coming weeks, okay? I would love, and I plan to give us an ample amount of time to prayerfully consider what God is calling each of us to give towards this next campaign. And so for that reason, we are going to take our initial next campaign offering, free will offering, on the first Sunday of June, June 2nd. Now, we've never done this before. We've never done a giving campaign. We've never really had a reason to do a giving campaign. But I will just say this, I do not want this to feel pressured or manipulative or anything like that. I want God to be the inspiration behind whatever you decide to bring to that. And so over the next 5 or 6 weeks, whatever that ends up being between now and then, that is between you and God, okay? So June 2nd. And between now and then, I ask that you be praying for our church, that you be praying against any kind of lies that the enemy is trying to sneak in, right? Trying to discomfort people's hearts for this mission and this vision. Praying against your own worry or concern about what God's calling you to. And to be praying for what indeed is next for Foundation Church. A couple of details that will be helpful for you to know as we move forward. We are going to take this campaign in phases. And our phase one goal is to raise $500,000. Okay? That's phase one goal, to raise $500,000. Now, last week, I said It would be amazing if God could just give us a building for free. That's my first choice. If we didn't have to pay a dime to acquire a building. But if we do, either way, we're going to need some funds. If we get a free building, we're going to have to construct it in a way that works for us. If we don't get a free building and we have to build something or acquire something, we're going to need money to do that. But I will say this, whatever comes in for the next campaign will be dedicated to that process and that process alone. Okay? That process and that process alone. It is my heart, and it's the heart of our team, our staff, and these other leaders that I've called upon to do this with a very smart and savvy financial strategy. I would love to secure this next facility, whatever it ends up being, whatever our future home, whatever the housing around our clockwork, with little to no debt. Okay? Any debt that we incur along the way will actually be something that we pay off through other endeavors, like our early childhood learning center daycare that we want to launch. And the reason that I bring this up to you is because I know sometimes that the church and money and the crossing of the two can be a bit of a sensitive subject. And then what happens with a church's money can be a bit of a sensitive subject. But tithes and offerings, general tithes and general offerings, fund ministry, which includes staff, ministry and staff. And so everything we do beyond that with this facility needs to come from this next campaign. Okay, so we are committing to you that we are not going to cross those wires, that what you give, what God calls you to give faithfully, each and every work through your tithe, that will remain connected to the ministry of Foundation Church. And then what we do with the next campaign will be that specific campaign and any funds that come in from that. Timeline? Well, since we do not have a facility or property in our possession, the timeline really is pretty hard to nail down. But there are two things that I would like you to know and remember. First of all, the one I mentioned just a minute ago, our first initial offering will be June 2nd. So mark that on your calendar, put it down, be praying, be prepared for that to come. We'll actually have pledge cards, so you can pledge to what you would like to give over the next 2 years, or you can give initially. That really, again, is up to you and between you and God. But the other thing that you need to know as far as timeline goes is this. We do know for sure that officially our agreement with the Mead School District ends at the end of this year. Okay, so at the end of 2024, we no longer have an agreement with the Mead School District. Now, let me tell you briefly why that is. The district has a policy that controls the usage from outside groups and limits it to 2 years maximum. I have my suspicions on why that is, but nevertheless, we don't need to go into my suspicions, especially since this will be on the internet. The point is that that is where we are. Now, I will be working with the district, talking with the facilities people, talking with people I'm connected to throughout the district to try to extend that. That's one of the things that I've been praying for. But I will say this, it would be extremely helpful in our case that if we need to extend our time here, that we have an exit strategy in place, right? It's like a child who's preparing for adulthood. A parent is much more likely to consider a child coming into their house or staying in their house as an adult if there is a strategy to leave, right? If there is no strategy to leave, that is a child who's moving out tomorrow, okay? So that's why we need to have something in place. So we don't have a timeline because we don't know where we're going to be. We can't control a lot of things, but we do know this, that officially by the end of this year, we have to leave Skyline, okay? So be praying about provision and favor in every single way. Okay, so finally, we actually want to provide a space to hear your feedback and to answer any questions you have about the future space. So we're putting together a simple, brief three-question survey that we are going to send to you. Now, why do I say that? Because if we don't have your email, we will not be able to send the survey to you. So if you don't have your email on file with us or it's an out-of-date one, please fill out your Connect card. and drop it in the box to make sure that we can send that to you if you care at all about being heard. If you don't care, that's totally fine. But it's a space for you to ask questions, to raise concerns, and to tell us what you're excited about yourselves as we've started to tell you what we are excited about. Okay, I'm going to invite the band up because in just a moment we're going to pray and have communion together. But I want to emphasize this as we close. I cannot overstate the importance of your prayers throughout this process. I hope that you understand that by how many times I've said it. I cannot overstate how important it is that you are praying for clarity, for God's provision, for unity, for the things that are going to be essential as we move into what is next for Foundation Church. Over the last 2 weeks, and this week included, so 3 weeks in total, I've been able to stand up here and sort of give you like a big picture snapshot of what that looks like, both a request to pray, our vision for what we're going to use the facility for, and now sort of how we plan to take action. However, we are going to follow God's lead. Whatever that looks like, if he calls us to a facility that's not on our radar, great, because we will be faithful to that. If he calls us to be patient, we will do that. Whatever it is that God calls us to, with clarity, we will be faithful to that. And so we need you to be praying. So please, please, please be praying, because prayer is powerful. Prayer changes things. It changes lives. It changes circumstances. And I believe that God is certain about our future, that he knows exactly where we're going to be. And I would just like a little insight, right? Just a little insight. Where are we going? What is next? How are we going to get there? And I believe if we're praying collectively that God will bring that to the forefront in due time. So please, please, please be praying. Okay, will you stand with me? We're going to receive communion in just a moment, but I also want to give you the opportunity to respond for prayer for your personal life, right? Or someone that you know, a situation that is in dire situations or dire conditions, or maybe you just have a need of your own that you've been praying about, or a request, an intercession, something that is weighing on your heart that you need prayer for. Well, a couple things. One, come to the prayer night tonight. Come, if you are interested in that, we're going to be spending an extended time in prayer, and that is going to be a really important thing. You can also get prayer today. We have Karen who's going to be over there. Mike is going to be over there. They will be willing to pray with you as well if you have a personal request that you need prayer for. But I just want to pray collectively that God would hear our prayers, both for our church and for our families and for these needs that are in front of us. So we're going to take a moment. We're going to pray. And then I'm going to initiate the communion elements and we'll receive those together. So will you pray with me? God, thank you for moments like these where we stand before you and we know that you and you alone are certain of the future of our church, of our lives, of our families. God, you have it all in front of you. You know exactly what that looks like. And so God, we pray that as we walk forward in faith without having total understanding of what's next in just about every way, that we would trust that you are going to be with us and that you are for us. And so God, each and every need that's presented in this room, for the people who could not be here because of their needs, for the people who are feeling the weight of decisions to be made, or people who are feeling nervous about medical reports, God, or for people who need financial restoration, whatever it may be, God, may you hear our prayers. May you hear our prayers and respond. And God, help us to be faithful and full of joy despite what's going on in our lives. Help us to bring those difficulties to you. Help us to trust that you are the good, good Father that you've promised to be. Bless our church, God, in every way. bless our church. In Jesus' name, amen. So now we're going to receive communion together. Now, communion, if you're not familiar with it, is the opportunity to do, as Jesus said, to remember the work that he did on the cross. We take juice and a cracker to remember the moment where Jesus shared with his closest friends the wine and the bread and said, this is my body and this is my blood and this is for you. And so, like many other things in life where we have this physical, tangible, in this case, tasteable representation of an idea, that's why communion is significant. Because we take what we know about the grace and the mercy of God, and we're able to represent it in a cup and in a cracker. And when we gather to take that together, it truly is a beautiful act of worship. And so I'm going to pray for the elements, and then you can go back and you can grab the communion elements, pray with someone that you're with if you would like, or pray by yourself, however you prefer, and then enter into worship to celebrate what God has done through that moment. Let me bless the elements. God, thank you for this reminder, this tangible, touchable, tasteable reminder of your grace, of your mercy, of the good things that you've done on our behalf. May it both be a celebration and a somber reminder that you had to go and endure pain and endure death on a cross so that we can be the temple where the Spirit of God dwells. What a beautiful reminder. So God, as we receive these, may our hearts be turned towards you. May we forgive the people we need to forgive as we've been forgiven. May we have grace as we receive your grace. May we have mercy as we receive your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and receive the elements and then sing one more song with us.